My 13-year-old acts like a puppy again. Almost overnight, she's a different dog.
Perfect poops.
When people switch their dog's food to the farmer's dog, the effects can seem like magic. But there's no magic involved. It's simply real meat and vegetables with all the nutrients dogs need instead of highly processed pellets. No tricks, just smarter, healthier pet food delivered in packs portioned for your dog. It's amazing what real food can do. Get 50% off your first order at thefarmersdog.com/nomagic50.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, to another edition of the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. I'm Billy Embody. Shea Dixon is here recapping the official visit weekend that LSU had, the first one in well over a year with the COVID-19 pandemic recruiting dead period ending. And we had a busy week on Go 24/7. Check us out, $1 for your first month to get on go247.com. And it's a really good month to try that out because more official visits are coming. We'll have that covered for you later in the week and throughout the month. But Shay, LSU had six official visitors on campus. Running them down for you guys: five-star defensive lineman Shamar Stewart, five-star offensive tackle Kelvin Banks, four-star offensive tackle Cam Dewberry, four-star offensive tackle Julian Armella, four-star running back Damari Alston, and four-star running back Terrence Gibbs. So a lot of offensive flavor. And let's lead off with that in one that is Damari Alston, four-star running back out of Atlanta Woodward Academy, same college for you recruit Knicks out there, that Kari G, one-time LSU commit, was at last recruiting cycle, but doesn't appear to be hurting LSU much. Damari Alston had a fantastic official visit and is now trending on the 24/7 Sports crystal ball to the Tigers. Shay, this is kind of a similar mold, at least in my eyes, of Corey Kiner, maybe a little leaner, but 5'10", 205, has some really nice offers. We'll check out Northwestern and Penn State later this month on official visits. What's your take on Damari Alston and the work LSU did this weekend?
This is one of those things where you're giving some good news before some bad news. Like I didn't know which way you were going to go. Like the bad news, what we deem is maybe negative news first or positive. So we're going in this direction. I think it's, for me, Kevin Falk has done a good job. Look, he didn't even get to go on the recruiting trail. The past week was the first time since he's been hired, really. I mean, minus the month of February or beginning of March of right before the pandemic, that he's been able to be out there and on the recruiting or seeing kids face to face and meeting with their parents and everything like that. And he knocked down Goodwin and Kiner in this last class, two top 10, 12 range ranked running backs. So we know he can recruit, and it seemed, I mean, LSU wasn't chasing a million running backs last year. It became evident early on they wanted Kiner. And then as time went on, we kept hearing Goodwin. He'd been committed to Auburn for a long stretch. And ultimately, all of the kind of buzz turned out to be true that LSU was in a great spot with Goodwin. So for him, for Alston to show up on the radar right now, to be one of the first visitors, to then, you know, leave and make LSU his first official, but with significant buzz behind him about the chances being good, as you said, crystal balls coming in of him landing at LSU. I have no reason not to read all of those tea leaves and see what he did a year ago with those guys, as thinking that Falk's got him right in the sight line, and that would be a guy we could expect to be in this class.
Yeah, I mean, the thing for me, and he kind of went a little coy with me when I caught up with him on the phone afterwards, which is, you know, just, I don't talk about my recruitment much, but from what he told me about his time in Baton Rouge, I mean, just felt like home to him. And I think that's one of the things that really stood out to me. Whenever a kid says it lived up to the hype and it surpassed the expectations, I mean, that's high praise. And that's what I got from Damari Alston. And so when Steve Wiltfong texted you and I this morning saying, hey, this morning we're recording on a Monday, so Monday morning, and said, hey, Damari Alston had a great visit, I'm feeling good about it, I'm logging my crystal ball pick, I said, you know what, I'm right there with you. Good time to jump on board that Alston to LSU train. Seems like LSU finds a way to get somebody out of Atlanta or in that Georgia area each class. And this is one that has some really good offers on the table. And speaking of players that have good offers on the table, Terrence Gibbs as well, who was the other running back on campus. And, you know, I think that's one where Florida, I think, has an upper leg on. He named them his leader going into the summer, like right before the week. I mean, I think the first week of the dead period, he confirmed that Florida is leading. And I think just looking at the tea leaves, that's probably where he ends up as of now. He's got multiple official visits left to go, including Florida at the end of the month. So his recruitment will continue to play out. And he's about an hour away from Gainesville, maybe that in Winter Park, depending on traffic down there in Central Florida. But he'll head to Tennessee, and then Florida is his last official visit. A top 247 running back, but was out with his torn ACL as a junior. We'll continue to track that one, but the one that I think everybody had their attention on this weekend, on the defensive side at least, Shamar Stewart, the five-star defensive lineman, top 10 overall prospect, number one D lineman. And Shea, you know, I think
this is where he does the bad news, guys. If you're listening, this is where he's going to let you down with his opinion.
Well, if you're a Go 24/7 subscriber, I mean, I've been teeing this up for a little while now, I feel like, and this is a prospect that LSU picked up the early crystal balls for when he was rated the number one overall prospect in the country early on in his recruitment. And intel out of the official visit. Look, you can have a good official visit, right? I mean, you're getting wined and wined and dined, so to speak. You're getting to see the visit and do the photo shoot, but you know, it just doesn't get a feel that this one is going to go LSU's way. And the clear cut answer for me on that was twofold. The parents didn't make their way to Baton Rouge with him. And then when asked if he was going to return for an unofficial visit, he said, I'm not sure. So Shamar Stewart, LSU wanted to go for the home run early on and get him on campus for the first official visit and make a statement. And right now it seems like they'll have serious work to do.
Yeah, and I think in the last chat, maybe, I think it was a chat, might have been just someone asking on the board, but about the percentage chance he landed at LSU, I think I said something like 25 or 30%, but that would be a higher percentage chance than maybe anybody else at the time held, because there were going to be so many schools after him, and that he was reciprocating that with unloading this, you know, huge summer stretch and end of the season visit plan with no real intention of deciding, you know, in the next month or anything like that on where he would go to college. I liked that LSU had the first visit. I liked the fact that he had not met in person yet with Andre Carter and Ed Orgeron, who both, and certainly Orgeron, but we heard it a lot with Carter here recently about how much kids like them, you know, how infectious their personality is, and that, you know, being in a room with them sort of really drives home the type of coach they are. I think that probably, no matter what we're hearing about Shamar's weekend, I think that was probably one of the shining points of it for him. I'm with you on the parents. And look, I don't know what his parents are up to this weekend or if they're going to go on all his visits or anything like that. But you would have hoped that, you know, if you're landing one of the five official visits that's this far out from National Signing Day, that they would have been there. But you weren't able to get that. And then, look, the buzz we're even kind of sharing is more of stuff we're hearing coming out of South Florida following the visit, not even you know, kind of stuff from around the LSU side. And it was just that we expected maybe to hear that it was a bit more of a home run than it was. Now, look, there's a long time to go. Orgeron's not going to stop recruiting him by any stretch of the imagination. So I'm not writing this one off completely, but I am now acknowledging that, yeah, this one's going to be, it's tough to land any five star, but I think you would have hoped that the feeling around everything was a little bit stronger coming out of your official visit.
Exactly. And that was the tough news, I think, to see, was that, you know, unsure if he's going to make it back to Tiger Stadium for a game, for example. I mean, that's tough when you don't get that. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Can't wait. Saturday night, Death Valley. We'll check that out. See if we can make it work for our schedule. It was just, I'm unsure. That's tough. And that, I think that says it all. So we will continue to track it. I mean, I'm sure Ed Orgeron won't give up. I mean, that's something that he hasn't done with a lot of highly touted defensive linemen throughout his time at LSU. He swings for the fences and tries to get them on board. And so we'll continue to track Shamar Stewart's recruitment, of course, but coming out of the official visit weekend, that was tough news. But on the other side of this break, we got real good news to talk about, and that is the offensive line recruiting. And look, to tee it up for you guys, Brad Davis is still working through the paperwork, wasn't able to really talk with these guys face-to-face and be a part of everything, but there's some positive feedback from those guys, at least two of the three, as we're recording this podcast, that LSU sits in a pretty good spot heading into the rest of their official visits and the rest of their recruitment. So we'll talk about that on the other side of this quick break from the Go 24/7 podcast.
Selling a little or a lot. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome back to the Go 24/7 podcast. Thanks for listening. Quick reminder, guys, to leave us a rating, leave us a review, and follow our podcast wherever you listen to your podcast at. Jay, this is where we bring back the good news. We're going to probably end a little bit with some bad news, I guess, but not that bad of news. It's just quiet on the Julian Armella front. But let's lead off with a five-star prospect that had a fantastic time at LSU with his family. That's Kelvin Banks, five-star out of the Humble, Texas area, goes to Summer Creek. He's a five-star on the 24/7 Sports Composite. Texas A&M leads in the 24/7 Sports Crystal Ball. Texas is right there too, but I mean, if you're a Go 24/7 subscriber, go check out what Steve Wiltfong said about this visit. Both Steve and I spoke with Kelvin Banks, and quite honestly, LSU hit a home run.
Yeah, I think that this is one of those, like you said, if you're a member of Go 24/7, head to the site, you can read your entire interview. I mean, and you and Steve both chatted with him. But I mean, if you want a post-visit update where you all of a sudden go, huh, all right, well, that went real well, it's that. I mean, he talked about not just enjoying the experience and loving being on campus and being with the guys, but more specific about how much he liked the idea of the Brad Davis hire and his prior relationship with him. And then the fact that he says, hey, look, all these guys in this class, and you're talking about Walker Howard and Will Campbell, your five stars and on down, were all, you know, pressing me to commit. And that shows, look, these guys are behind the scenes working all of these, not just offensive linemen, but certainly everyone they're trying to get into the class. But they're working guys from outside the state, guys who are circled as top targets, the guys they know that, hey, quarterback and offensive lineman, they've got two five stars. Where can you go get some more? Those guys get close to a guy like him. So I think if you're hoping somehow to get one of these, and there's a handful of them, right? And every year there is one of these Texas offensive linemen who are a top 100 guy who aren't that far away from LSU, that LSU should be going out and getting. I think a guy like Banks fits that mold, certainly. And I think you have to put him now, Billy, up there in the top two or three in terms of, hey, point out a few offensive linemen that are elite that LSU has a chance to get.
I agree. And I mean, to pair him potentially with Will Campbell, I mean, that's what you need. That is when you look at the teams that are the best in college football, recruiting these types of players and landing them is critical. So we'll see if LSU can weather the storms of these four other official visits. Oregon and Oklahoma State, kind of the outsiders looking in my opinion, and widely, I think, believed to be the case on those two schools. But Texas A&M are certainly contenders for sure. But LSU made a lot of headway. And, you know, I think just from making his family feel comfortable, the commits showing the love, the coaching staff. I mean, I just think they made a lot of headway with Kelvin Banks, and he seems to be excited about the potential to pair with somebody like Will Campbell in the class. I mean, Will Campbell and Kelvin Banks have been talking for a long time. So again, LSU's got to keep working it, keep trying to get him on board. And, you know, if he does end up deciding this summer, it honestly wouldn't shock me if he ends up in the class. And, you know, that would be a huge credit to the coaching staff and everybody involved with this recruitment, because this is a type of prospect that LSU just hasn't landed in the past. These nationally recruited high stakes recruitments, you know, in the trenches, quite honestly, they just haven't gotten them on board. And right now they're in the thick of it with Kelvin Banks, and they're also in the thick of it with Cam Dewberry, another elite prospect, top 100 prospect on the 24/7 sports composite. And certainly I think more of a guard. You know, I think he might still be listed as an offensive tackle with us. Yes, he is. But just his size, you can kind of see it in the pictures from his visit. I mean, if you were to land Cam Dewberry and Kelvin Banks, who are friends, but their recruitments are certainly separate, that is an entire side of an offensive line that you're getting into the fold that could be the difference for years to come.
Yeah, and look, there's still a lot of guys out there like that. Malik Akpo's coming in on a visit. They've got a few other guys, Devin Campbell, and a handful of others nationally, that they're recruiting and looking at as potential interior guys in this class and offensive linemen in this class. So for me, and look, I don't know a ton about Dewberry's recruitment yet as we get going into the summer and where he's really going to start to look around on things. But I do think that with the hire of Brad Davis, which, as you said, it's not actually been confirmed by LSU yet, but that's what's happening. And when everything, you know, paperwork's cleared and he's out on the recruiting trail and certainly interacting with these guys, you know, and recruiting for LSU and at camps and on visits, I think that'll be huge. And Dewberry fits into that, obviously. And look, this past weekend, Davis was in town. It wasn't able to be an official capacity, but he was there and observed, as were coaches from a few other the in-state schools. So he's, I think, for LSU to push forward in this class, with a new O-line coach and already having, you know, a couple of in-state guys already committed. They got Lucas Taylor on campus. And look, he was an out-of-state guy who's a Craig recruit. Well, you've got a new offensive line coach in now. You'd expect that evaluation process to kind of kick up again. And they were able to see him this past weekend. So we'll obviously see what this class looks like at the end. But I would put Dewberry into that group of guys that maybe 7-8, and let's call it right around 10, just under that, of guys LSU definitely has a shot with, but you wouldn't certainly call him the leader yet. But how they close, how they perform this year, and how a guy like Brad Davis does recruiting is going to go a long way to see which maybe one or two of those dominoes ultimately drop for him.
Yeah, exactly. And Julian Armella, to kind of wrap up, honestly, the podcast, but he's pretty quiet, keeps to himself. He is a Florida State legacy. Ed Ogeron recruited his dad while he's at Miami, lost out to Florida State. But there are certainly a lot to like in terms of your ties when you're Ed Ogeron. Now, James Craig recruited St. Thomas Aquinas when he landed Marlon Martinez and Marcus Dumervil. And so that's something to know, I think, in that recruitment as well, is that Craig's not working it as much. But still, he didn't cancel his official visit. He came on his trip to LSU to check it out. I'm not going to write off LSU in that recruitment. You know, they've had some positive buzz as well in that recruitment, and we'll just kind of see how the dust settles with Brad Davis. But right now we're still waiting to catch up with Julian Armella. And so that's the one where we haven't heard from him directly just yet, but we're working on that one. But overall, I mean, they got him on campus. You know, they've got some ties to Ed Ogeron. So who knows? LSU will continue to fight away on that one. He heads to Alabama next. There's certainly Florida State, Miami, Clemson, a lot of schools that are in the mix there for Julian Armella. But, you know, overall, I think this sets the stage real well for the offensive line to be an elite class. You know, whether they get one or two of these three official visitors is going to be a good haul. And then you've got Malik Agbo coming in this coming weekend, fresh off a Miami trip. We'll see how he meshes with Brad Davis, who I assume will be announced before then. We'll kind of see, but I can't imagine paperwork taking that long for him. And then again, we've got to see how he wants to round out this class. I got to believe, Shea, that they're looking at 5 to 6 offensive linemen, right?
Yeah, I mean, like we've noted earlier, and everyone has talked about. I mean, you had so many guys come back for this year, which is great, right? All five starters are back on the O-line. That means at some point all five starters are going to be gone on the O-line. So they'll take a big hit after this year. I do think this needs to be a big O-line class considered you just signed two a year ago. I like that five number, especially if you can wind out with some good guys. And like you said, we'll see on Armella. I really like the fact that LSU has two O-linemen who are not far in age away from Armella, just separated by a couple of years. And that means they've played together, they're buddies, and not many teams in his recruitment have two guys from his high school that are both offensive linemen on one of his top contenders. I think that him giving LSU that first visit, it certainly shows he's got some real interest. And look, I'll wrap up here because I'll flip it and give us the good news. I was going to interject earlier, but then you said at the end you had bad news, even though the Armella stuff's not that bad. We just don't know exactly what he's thinking yet. But we'll close with good news. And look, I don't know where Shamar Stewart ultimately lands. Maybe it's LSU. But boy, coming out of camp this past weekend, and Sonny was there watching all 48 hours of it, the guy everyone was talking about, at least not named Jake Johnson, was Quincy Wiggins. And I know that, look, on 24/7, we have him as an 89 three-star right now. And Gabe Brooks and a number of people on our rankings team did that, saying, look, this is a guy that's played one year of football. He was a basketball player. We love his upside. But we haven't ever seen him in person yet. And beyond, you know, not at a camp setting, not like he looks now. He's put on weight since the end of the season. And as the open contact period began, and this was our first chance to see him on a college campus, whether it's from Sonny's reaction to how he looked out there to just talking to sources, this is a guy a lot of people think Billy is going to be a top 50, 100 prospect by the time all the dust settles as a 6'3.5", 6'4", 265-pound D-end, which is exactly like Stewart, you know, a rush D-end, someone who can also obviously hold up against the run game, but someone who can play that edge and be a three-down guy for him. And that's exactly what Quincy Wiggins appears to be in a major stock-up way.
Yeah, and look, I'll up the game here for Quincy Wiggins. You know, he's all of 6'5", from what I've heard. So you get him with that wingspan that I heard is really, really impressive. I mean, when you look at guys like that too, and I said this about Savion Jones, if you're looking at upside and, you know, when you're going through recruiting rankings and saying, okay, like down the line, like, could I see Savion Jones being a first round draft pick? Yeah, absolutely. Do I want to see more? Did I want to see more? And even as high as we were on Savion Jones, do we want to see more from him to be that? Probably as a recruit, you want him to be just a little bit more dominant in the high school ranks. And that's what Quincy Wiggins is going to have to show in the season. But I think when you look at him as far as an upside prospect, he's in that 50 to 75 range right now. He could be higher. You know, there are things that we probably just don't have verified, you know, speed or change of direction, but dang, he looked good going against Will Campbell. You know, obviously those settings are geared towards defensive linemen, but I mean, he really had a strong camp. He's got to have a strong senior year to continue the rise. But look, I mean, I could tell you guys already, Gabe Brooks and I texted about him this weekend and he said, oh yeah, they're going to move him up, you know, with this showing, like Shea said as well. So a big stock up weekend for Quincy Wiggins and somebody that just has the profile that you want in a defensive lineman. So getting him on campus fresh off an Alabama offer was also big.
Yeah. And again, this is Quincy Wiggins plays at Madison Prep here in Baton Rouge. And what he told Billy after the spring game that LSU is his leader. Now we've gotten into the open period, the very first day he was at LSU. That was last Tuesday, June 1st, I should say, with his mom and visiting with Coach O and visiting for the first time with Andre Carter, who he called, you know, right ahead after that visit, ahead of the weekend, kind of one of his favorite coaches to talk to, the guy who hits him up the most. We've got an article that you can check out on the site this week about Quincy Wiggins, where he talks about how Andre Carter's son hits him up more than most college coaches do and, you know, texts with them and whatnot. And his son, I think, is in like fourth or fifth grade and is a big college fan or whatever. But you get the sense of, boy, they are making him a massive priority. And because of it, Wiggins said LSU is, again, well, a month and a half ago was the leader, but now is saying, there's no doubt that they've recruited him harder than anyone else. He wants to take some time and take some visits, do all that. I think he circled November range for a potential decision. But that being said, it's tough for me to call anyone but LSU the leader. And as you noted, he's about to move up the rankings a bit.
Yeah, that'll be one of the fun recruitments, I think, in-state to watch. You know, guys like him, Jamon Tapp, Trevante Citizen. Those are ones that, you know, I think could have some intrigue to them. So we'll obviously be tracking all of those guys. And one thing to note, too, as we wrap up the pod, Sonny Shipp and I are going to be talking about all the camp takeaways later this week on the pod. Just wanted to get through all the notes, all of the video, and just stack our takeaways from a busy camp, and one that, especially on Sunday when the rain drove everything inside, was packed like sardines. So with that, Shay D, we're going to wrap this one up. Quick reminder, guys, leave us a rating, leave us a review, and follow the Go 24/7 podcast wherever you check out your podcast at. For Shay Dixon, I'm Billy Embody. Thanks for listening to this edition of the Go 24/7 podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.